quite
unusual.
Hello and welcome to the Quite Unusual Podcast. We think we fucking figured out our intro.
Oh,
no, it's where's the one?
And now I have a cheat sheet.
I just go off vibes, man.
Whatever you're feeling, whatever color is speaking to you in that moment.
Yeah, you know, like sometimes you just
feel like a large robot, and then you feel like a small robot.
Exactly.
Totally. I mean,
I will never not love this. This is my favorite thing we've ever experienced. I've ever experienced. I wanted this my whole life, and dreams really do come true.
Shout out to Road for hooking it up.
Yeah. Shout out to Road. That's us. We're Roadhouse.
That's us.
Yeah, I was just gonna hit that one.
You got a lot of beverages around me.
Same. I just took a
sip.
I like
it that way, though.
I just took a sip of a bevy and splashed it into my glasses.
Oh, okay. That's so great.
My windshield. Today we're doing something sort of fun where we do a little splitsies halfsies.
We're switching it up.
Yeah, so.
On the Quite Unusual Podcast.
Gonna do two things instead of only doing one thing.
Yeah, so I'm sure you guys have listened to other podcasts with this format, but I'm going to do a story, and then Will's going to do a story.
And then we're going to ride Translucent Steeds over the Bridge of Hemdale together.
Into the mists of Hemdale, yes, we are.
I'm so sorry. How could I? Shoot. Oh, boy. Okay. I have a crazy story.
Okay. But
you know what? I have a request.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot downstairs. I have a request.
Okay.
Instead of doing... People are going to get mad at this, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Instead of doing a listener lore today...
Okay.
Can I tell a weird story about something that happened to me in a Target?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have to go get the sheet from downstairs.
Okay, I will save this.
So give me 1 second. Let me go get it.
Okay.
Okay. Burb. All right. Okay. I'm very excited to tell my story later. And
you got the pamphlet?
I got my pamph.
Okay.
All 4 pages.
I will save this baby for next week then.
All right, cool. Would you like to jump into it, man?
Yeah. So this topic actually was suggested by our friend David from Wisconsin, which was, it was a long, long, long time ago on Facebook, probably like 2020 when we first started.
All right. Well, shout out to David from Wisconsin.
Well, and he also called us fibs.
What's a fib?
It's a fucking Illinois bitch. That's what Wisconsinites call us.
David. Hey, David. If you're listening,
I will find you.
And we're just going to
have a little fucking chat.
And I just feel like maybe, like, you know, maybe like.
You don't fucking call us that anymore. Do you understand, David? I know where you live. You live in the state above us. And honestly, I'm fucking sick of your
shit. Oh, fuck.
Son of a bitch.
Wow. He had it. It was.
Did I come back? Did I make it full circle?
You brought it back. You brought it back in the end, I think.
All right, we're good.
But yeah, I don't even know if David listens to us anymore because this was like honestly so long ago. And
you know what? I hope he fucking doesn't.
Because he's unless gonna Facebook us and be like, I heard what you said about me on your last
You know what, David?
He remembers that he suggested this topic, and
you know what, David?
I'm not fucking scary.
I like it.
It's like
this is getting out of hand. I feel like a lot of this is just
gonna go in the bloopers. It's like too much. So, anyways, David, if you're still with us, this was suggested by you.
Yeah, unless you were joking and you're like, you fucking Illinois bitches, I fucking love your asses.
Yeah, he did. He did.
In which case, hey, David, big round.
In which case, well, we love you.
We love you, David. If you meant it in a mean way, then ew, David.
Ew, David.
Ew, David.
Anyways, this topic was also suggested by my Auntie Laura. So, Auntie Laura, if you're listening, hello. I don't know.
Auntie Laura.
I like you, and I will not fight you.
I don't know why that's really the go-to one.
I thought it was funny.
It is pretty funny. So the topic that I will be talking about today is the Paulding Lights, or also known as the Lights of Paulding.
Oh, no way.
Right?
It's sort of like when you use a word to define another word.
Mm. Or it's also known as the Dog Meadow Lights.
Okay, first of all, I am picturing
a left field on that one.
Field full of puppies.
So cute, right?
How cute.
So cute. So basically, these lights have been appearing in a valley outside of Paulding, Michigan since the 1960s.
A valley full of puppies.
A valley full of puppies. A puppy, a valley of puppies. speaking of which, my puppy just ran to me.
Apple.
It's really cute. Some people believe it is the work of a ghost. Some people believe it is due to geological activity. So what exactly is the history behind these mystical lights, this mystical light phenomenon?
So I know virtually, oh, this is fun. I know virtually nothing about this. Like, I have like a general idea of what it is from, like, we did an episode about.
I'm so sorry.
This is so cute, though.
It is cute.
It's honestly so cute.
It's just growling.
We should record that for a sound. Just her growling.
We were planning on doing
as
it.
As the anger noise. I know virtually no. All right. This is. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. You need to relax. We're relaxing and we're relaxing.
Calmate.
Smell the essential oils. They are relaxing you. They are putting you in a meditative state.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. She's meditating right now.
Oh my God. That's. So anyways, what were you saying about the lights?
I was saying I know virtually nothing about this, so I'm very excited to learn about it.
Yes.
And also, I can't wait to ask you if you've heard anything about the topic I chose.
I don't think I even know what topic you chose. I think, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll talk about later.
We'll see. All right, so getting back into it. These lights appear in a valley outside of Paulding, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula near Watersmeet off of US 45 on Robbins Pond Road, or what some call Old 45.
Yeah, and we know all that because we're the world's foremost geography podcast.
The only geography podcast that matters. One. So it's basically just very, very north. So just over the Wisconsin border. So, you know, it's like that piece of Michigan that hangs off the top. It's not the mitten. It's the UP, you know, how they call it.
Thumb.
Yeah. No, it's the, not in the mitten. It's the other part.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. It's the part that shouldn't be part of that state.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's right. Canada's there. Anyways. So, yeah, the UP. And I know how you Michiganders love to hold your hand up like a mitten to like show the location in Michigan. I think it's pretty cute, honestly.
I wish so cute.
Illinois was shaped like something on my body that I could hold up and point to.
What is it shaped?
It's kind of shaped like a foot, actually.
I was thinking foot, so I'm going to start slamming my foot down on
like
counters.
Your left foot? A left foot, kind of.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
Start slamming. If you look right here.
I live right here.
Just above the bunion. That is Chicago.
That feels very Chicago to say, so I like it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should make it a thing. I don't know. But the Paulding lights are not in the mitten, UP, like I said, near the Wisconsin border.
Also, mittens are like the cutest like winter clothing.
They are. It reminds me of just like little kiddish vibes. The story of the Paulding lights is a beloved local ghost paranormal phenomenon. So much so that you can even get a Paulding lights t-shirt and other merchandise at the Paulding General Store.
Should we go?
I mean, I think we should.
Let's go on the way home from Paracon.
I was saying we should do it because we're going to be up there, so might as well. Paulding, Michigan is a small, unincorporated town with only 426 residents, I guess.
That's so little.
More or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like someone died today.
So yeah, like, or like someone was born in the last time and like that was written.
It evened out, so we're good.
Yeah, totally. It's a small town with a big claim to paranormal fame.
That rhymed
intentionally. A third of the general store is actually dedicated solely to Paulding Lights merchandise. So it's like basically this is their baby, you know? The area has even become like a little party area for the small town. Young adults will congregate in the area with some beers, waiting to spot the light
Honestly, that sounds like something that you would read in a newspaper, like, the youth of Paulding, Michigan has congregated in the area with some beers, waiting to spot the famous lights.
No, seriously, going to see the Paulding lights became like a big event for this tiny town. I mean, that was like,
makes perfect sense.
You know how like some towns have like Friday night football? And it's like their high school and their town because they don't have like a team and it's like small town.
You're like literally just talking about Texas.
Yeah, this is like Friday night football for Paulding, Michigan.
These are the good Friday night lights.
Yeah.
These are the ones I would see.
These are the good Friday night lights. At one point in time, Ripley's, believe it or not, even offered up $100,000 to anyone who could solve the mystery of the Paulding lights, a reward that was never claimed.
I don't respect them anymore because they're the ones that gave Kim Kardashian that dress to wear.
Yeah.
And also a weird piece of Marilyn Monroe's hair.
That was, yeah.
That feels like a weird thing to like give away dead lady's hair.
Right. And then she was like, I'm going to do voodoo on it. And it's like, you shouldn't make fun of that because that's like actually a religion that people practice and you don't know how to do that.
I just wanted to be like, everyone sit down. Sit down.
Just everyone just stop with Kim Kardashian. Just no. We're done. We're fucking done. Anyways,
sorry.
Various local news stations and magazines have been out to the site to witness this phenomenon. Paranormal investigators with Ripley's, believe it or not, and the Sci-Fi Channel even conducted their own investigation on the show, Fact or Faked. Fact or Faked, :
Yes.
Paranormal Files. And they didn't come up with any explanations.
I love a colon.
I know. We love a colon on this podcast. If there's one thing about this podcast.
We love a colon.
The legend of the Paulding lights was first spread by word of mouth, and then local news stations got word, and soon everyone was coming out to this tiny town to witness the lights for themselves. The town has fully embraced their ghostly fame. The Michigan Forest Service has also put up signs indicating the best areas to view the lights from.
That's so cool, dude. They like really...
They love it, man.
That's really dope, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, many locals say the lights have been around for quite some time, and there are various stories and myths explaining what the lights could, I mean, actually be.
I can't wait.
So the first reported sighting of the Paulding lights happened in 1966 by a group of high school boys who spotted the lights and went to the local sheriff with this information. They had been in a car traveling along the swampy area of the old military road called Dog Meadow.
Adorable.
When suddenly they witnessed the bright lights, which also lit up the power lines lying parallel to the road. This occurrence freaked them out, and they reported it to police. And ever since then, many people have reported seeing the lights that can usually be seen once the sun sets.
So it's like in this swamp that they see them? Or like all along this road?
It's along this road, yeah. Okay. So like you can... There's like kind of a like a field. Mm-hmm. I've seen like videos of it. There's like a long field, and then there's like a tree line, and then mm-hmm. you kind of see the lights like dancing above the tree line. But you can like park your car this like road to watch them.
I want to go to there.
We should. We should honestly do it. Legend claims that the lights come from the swaying lantern held by the ghost of a railroad brakeman who died when he tried to stop a train from crashing into railway cars that were stopped on the tracks, and he was crushed. That's the story, at least.
That's so sad.
The legend says that the valley once had railroad tracks more than a century ago because it was logging country. And locals say that there used to be a number of railroads that ran through the forest but have since been buried underneath the earth.
What do you think his name was?
Clyde.
It's a really good rail worker's name, honestly. Like, if I met a Clyde, I'd be like, where's your lantern, buddy?
You work on a railroad, don't you?
I can tell. For some reason, I know he's in Michigan, but I'm picturing him being like, hey, it's me working on the railroad.
That's like your go-to old-timey voice. That's why.
It's a good one.
Some say it is the lantern of a ghost of a train engineer that was killed along the railroad.
Oh, so we're just like jumping around.
It's just like, someone who was killed on a railroad.
With like train accoutrement.
I mean, another theory is that the light is the ghost of the train itself.
Thomas, no.
Yes. Thomas died.
Thomas is dead, everyone.
He got crushed one day.
He got crushed by a lantern. I don't know. Clyde got jealous of his fame, so he killed him.
He killed him, yeah. Another story is that the light is the lantern of a frantic grandparent looking for their lost grandchild. But the lantern is constantly needing to be relit, which is why the pattern of the lights seems to go off and on. I'm not sure where this story comes from, though, because I couldn't find any stories of any missing children or grandparents or even parents searching for their missing grandkids or kids in this area. So this one, I think, is just a made-up one from people in the area.
I feel like I will tell an almost identical story later because it's just like people are like, oh, a light is a lantern, and they're looking for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, they see something weird, and people speculate, and then the story gets retold over and over and over again, and then it turns into this and into that, and then this gets added, and that's basically what just happened with this. And the only explanation that I can think of is that he was killed by a train while looking for his kid, so I guess another connection to the train.
Thomas is a murderer. You heard it here first.
He's a serial killer.
Thomas the Train is a serial killer.
It's really dark. I mean, you think that it's a kid's show, but if you go back and really watch it, it's like...
It's another Mandela effect thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks Thomas the Train is a kid's show, but really it's a horror movie.
Honestly, have you seen the way they look?
What's that grumpy one? I was just watching a movie where he was naming... Oh, on Bullet... I was watching Bullet Train. He was naming all of the... the people that he met, like characters from Thomas. It's like something with a D. I can't remember what he was calling them, but he like would put a sticker on them and the one was like the evil one or something. But yeah.
I just like that this says Toby is an anthropomorphized brown square tram engine.
Other theories include the ghost of a slain mailman and his sled dogs that were killed 100 years ago at Dog Meadow.
Cuba Gooding Jr. got killed by Thomas.
By his own dogs. They cannibalized him.
Honestly.
I like that story better.
I like that one the best.
And some say the lights are a ghost of a Native American dancing on the power lines that run through the valley.
All right.
So there's a lot of theories here, but no one really knows. Other more skeptic people have written off the lights as just being a reaction from swamp gas or something that is related to the Northern Lights. Others think the lights have extraterrestrial origins. But then others just chalk it up to just being headlights from U.S. Highway 45, because some say sightings started to happen once the highway was constructed.
I literally love this. They're like, it's a ghost of a train. It's probably an E.T. It's definitely the ghost of a Native American who lost his son in some kind of war and then found a lantern.
No, it's just car headlights.
Definitely that.
But Linda Scholes, the owner of Running Bear Resort in Paulding, says that the lights were reported and spotted way before the highway was built. She says that, end quote, even in the Native American history of this area, they talk about the light, and this was long before there were roads.
Yeah, they talk about, like, a weird anthropomorphized train that came with a human face and how it slaughtered all of their brethren.
A cannibal train?
Yeah.
Her resort is built up of six small cabins that are usually frequented by hunters, fishermen, snowmobilers, and also people seeking out the infamous Paulding Lights. She has even equipped each cabin with a ledger filled with stories from guests who have encountered the lights.
Let's stay there.
Just sort of fun, right? People who have witnessed the lights say it is a bright white, glowing light that changes in shape and size as it makes its way floating through the woods. They can be seen every night and every season as long as it's dark and the night is clear. The light is said to be as big as a weather balloon. I know. And I'm not sure what the obsession is with anything paranormal and weather balloons, but I'd like it if we just like could do just like a story, just one that didn't have a freaking weather balloon mentioned.
Especially because how big is a weather balloon? I've never seen one.
Has anyone ever seen one?
No one has ever. No. You know what the real mystery is? Are weather balloons real?
You know what? That's why they always go say that it's weather balloons, because nobody has actually seen one.
So it can be like,
so they're like, it must be that.
Yeah. It's like, is it the size of a balloon or is it like the size of a hot air balloon?
But a nobody weather, knows. But a weather balloon is like smaller than a hot air balloon.
It's like somewhere between giant and small.
It's somewhere between a regular birthday balloon and
a hot air balloon. It's somewhere between there. And you know how big it is? Exactly the same size as whatever you're looking at. Mm-hmm. That's definitely not.
And it looks like it too, you know, just
100%. There's so many different styles.
Others who have witnessed the lights claim it can sometimes change colors between white, green, and red. And some even report blue.
Ooh.
And typically it's just seen as a large glowing orb, but some have claimed to have seen two.
Oh, so it's usually just one?
Usually just one, but I guess it can be two. It really depends on the night and
how many weather balloons there are.
Exactly. How many weather balloons have been let go into the air in Paulding, Michigan?
Like, do whatever weather balloons do, man.
Weather balloon's gonna weather balloon. Like I said earlier, these lights appear every night, every single night, whether you can see them or not. It seems to dance above the trees and along the power lines, flickering like a candle in the wind.
Oh, like that Elton John song.
That's exactly what I thought of when I wrote that line.
It's exactly like that Elton John song.
Exactly. Just picture.
That's actually what the Paulding lights are, what that song's about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that, but it's actually
a little known fact. Elton John's a huge fan of the Paulding lights.
And sometimes it burns brighter and sometimes it's duller. Like I said, depending on the night. The sign at the viewing point reads, end quote, "This is the location from which the famous Paulding light can be observed. Legend explains its presence as a railroad brakeman's ghost, destined to remain forever at the site of his untimely death. He continually waves his signal lantern as a warning to all who come to visit. To observe the phenomenon, park along this forest road facing north. The light will appear each evening in the distance along the power line right of way. Along the power line right of way. Remember, other people will be visiting this location." And then in all capital letters, it says, "Please do not litter," end quote. And then there's a little picture of Casper, the friendly ghost, holding a lantern at the bottom, which is really cute.
Yeah. That's really so cute.
So yeah, they full-on embrace this.
I love that. Also, I love how they're like, it's definitely a railroad brakeman's ghost. Right. He was slain by a weird engine called Thomas. There's blood all up in his teeth.
I like how they have to remind people to not like be trash people and like literally and throw their litter in a beautiful forest.
Everyone litters all of the time everywhere. Everyone's, and it's disgusting.
It sucks. Like, stop doing it.
Honestly, it fucking blows, dude.
Put it in your pocket. This is our PSA to everyone listening. Don't fucking litter.
If you litter, I don't want to be your best friend anymore.
If you litter, so help me God, I will fucking murder you and your family. Yeah, what she said. You have to turn it off.
Sorry.
just go off when you're done yelling about litter.
I don't know.
It's amazing.
That was my real voice.
I wish it just knew when you were done being angry.
In 2010, a group of nerds, or PhD students, in electrical engineering at Michigan Technological University decided to rain on everyone's parade and debunk the light. That's why I called them nerds. I didn't call them nerds because they're smart, okay? That's not why I did it. Nerds
because you want to give them wedges and swirlies?
I called them nerds because they tried to debunk this mystical phenomenon. Like dicks.
Jerks.
Lead nerd and overall fun sucker, Jeremy Bowes.
Or like Jeremy Boos, am I right?
Boo.
Am I right?
Yeah. That's what we need.
What?
One of the sounds.
Boo. All right, we'll record that later. He probably also thinks that Roswell was like a weather balloon, too.
Oh, totally. Everyone, fucking, he's, yeah. Well, he organized the expedition to set out to discover what the Paulding Light really was. He gathered a couple of students from the university's student chapter of SPIE, or the Society of Photo-Optical Instrumentation Engineers.
Of course.
That is a fucking mouthful. Which is a professional society devoted to studying optics and photonics?
Photonics. You know what actually happened is that no one invited him to go see the lights. So he was like, I'm going to ruin it for everybody because nobody will let me see the lights with them.
He was never invited to drink beers
by
the Paulding Lights. So he just got mad.
He wants to fucking ruin them.
Usually how it happens. So the gang took a road trip to Paulding, Michigan to witness the light for themselves. And like always, the light appeared. The crew then returned, but this time they brought some backup. This time, they brought a telescope, and they looked at the light with the telescope.
I fucking hate these people.
And what did they see?
This is like the fucking, like, mystery gang or some shit.
I know. Well.
What did they see?
They saw, wait for it, wait for it, car headlights.
I'm very mad at Jeremy Boos.
But this wasn't enough, and like all good researchers and scientists, they needed more proof. So they decided to see if they could recreate the Paulding Light themselves. They had a member of their research team drive along US 45 to see if his light timing matched up to the Paulding Light that they were witnessing near Robbins Pond Road.
Okay.
Under a spectrograph and a telescope, the group recorded their findings. End quote. Bill put on his hazards.
Is that your nerd voice?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Get nerdier.
Bill put up on his hazards.
Push up your glasses are falling down.
We saw flashing yellow lights, said Jeremy Boos. Jeremy Boos.
Boos.
Bummer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does suck, dude.
Well, they reported that every time a light appeared, they would look through the telescope and they would see what looked identical to a headlight. And sometimes they could even spot the outline of a car coming down the 8 mile road along with the lights.
Wait, like M&M?
Yes.
Was Cheddar Bob part of their crew?
I don't know. I definitely don't. This isn't the same 8 mile because that's near Detroit. But like Michigan has this thing where they just name roads like.
How many miles they are?
13 mile, 17. I don't know if there's a 17, but it's like 7 mile, 8 mile. I don't know. I don't know what the significance is. Maybe somebody from Michigan can explain that to us, but.
It's probably just how many miles the road is.
Maybe. I don't know.
And like, they're very uncreative there. They're like, well, this one's. Oh, wait, they're from the UP. Yeah. Well, that one there is 7 miles. So we're going to call
but
it.
But why is there an 8 mile road in the UP and also in eight, I guess it's different because it's like.
I wonder how many 8 mile roads there are.
So many.
At least two.
So many.
We know for a fact there's two. The one Eminem was born on.
The one that conceived Eminem.
Actually, did you know that 8 mile road is Eminem's mother?
I thought Kim was, isn't that?
Kim's his wife.
Who's his mom?
Oh.
Debbie.
He's cleaning out his closet.
Fuck you, Debbie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so 8 mile road is his dad, and he left to get cigarettes one day and became a road.
Yes, that is the backstory of Eminem.
And now he wanders with a lantern looking for his father down 8 mile road.
The light is just Eminem.
It's fucking Marshall Mathers looking for his daddy.
We solved it. I don't know. I don't even need to read the rest of the script.
Honestly, I'm going to throw my computer in the garbage.
So anyways, they shot a video through their giant telescope, and they posted it on YouTube for all to see. And they say that the flickering of the light is actually caused by the cars driving over the hill. And before I get into this, though, I just want to say, why were they the first ones to, like, bring a telescope?
To ever do this? When was this, like, 2020?
2010. So, like, Fact or Faked came, and they were like, yeah, we'll give, and then Ripley's Believe It or Not was like, we'll give $100,000 to anyone who could figure it out. And, like, that had always been a theory, was the car headlights, but nobody was like,
what if we look to see it? What if we actually look?
We looked with a telescope. I feel like even fucking binoculars would do it, dude.
I feel like you could zoom in on your iPhone and, like, see.
Why didn't anyone try this? Is what I'm saying. Or maybe they did and they found out and they were like, we can't.
like ruin the mystery. You know what? I bet that's what it is. Like they didn't want to like ruin like the magic
of it. I appreciate that. What I don't appreciate is Jeremy Bowes.
Jeremy Cornelius Bowes.
But I will say I watched the video on YouTube.
And
I hate to admit it, but the light does resemble headlights. And you can even see in the video taillights of the car, which would explain the red color that people sometimes see.
And when people see blue, it's like the cops.
No, like, did you read ahead? Because that's actually...
Oh, no! I was making a joke.
You blew it.
Oh, no. Cut that.
No, I'm leaving it in. They also conducted atmospheric modeling along the highway, and they stated that heat rising off the pavement may also contribute to the light's distorted look. They believe that an inversion layer in the line of sight between the road and where the Paulding light is viewed from may create a stable air, which is why the light is so visible 4.5 miles away from the highway to the viewpoint site.
Is that like the thing where like when the road is hot and it looks like the heat waves coming up?
A mirage? Yeah. I don't know. Like, honestly, could be. I'm not a scientist, so I can't.
What?
I'm going to say yes. I thought, but
as a medical doctor, I'm going to agree with doctor. You.
I'm not a learned scientist. So,
a learned doctor of science?
No. I'm going to say that makes sense, though.
I feel like.
Like, it creates, like, a stable environment for the light to, you know.
All right, let's go there, and we'll throw our empty beer cans at the lights that just happen to be.
No, we're not supposed to litter.
Oh, shit, we'll pick them up afterwards. Okay.
But about the green and blue lights people see. Wow. Sorry. I mean, you kind of spoiled this one. Jeremy thinks that those lights may be attributed to when a cop pulls someone over on the highway.
You know what I hate the most? That his name is Jeremy.
I know, Jeremy.
Can you imagine losing your virginity to someone called Jeremy?
No. I'm so sorry if anyone listening to this has.
I'm sorry I said that.
I feel like a lot of people have. And for that, we're sorry.
We're sorry to you, not to Jeremy.
And the lights getting brighter and dimmer is probably just people turning their brights on or off. That's the theory.
Like doing flashies.
Yeah. He also notes that the reports of these lights started popping up once the highway was constructed. And since Robbins Pond Road was also a popular makeout spot in the 60s, it would make sense that these sightings started like after the highway was constructed. Because people were like, what?
So people were like looking at the headlights of cars where people were doing it, losing their virginity to Jeremy's.
The people losing their virginity were looking at the headlights of cars and they were like, what's that?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. We should kiss.
Hey, babe.
Babe, you see that light? Yeah, kiss me.
Despite this damning evidence, people aren't so quick to believe in all of this science.
The way Nicole wrote that.
I love writing things like that, though.
It's like this. Four people are going to get this. The SpongeBob meme where he has like his hands on his hips and he's like, and it's like the lowercase, uppercase. That's how she wrote.
That's my favorite way to like brattily text something to someone.
It's like super bratty and I love it.
Yeah, like, okay.
Yeah.
Many people choose to believe that it is paranormal in origin and that these nerds didn't really witness the real Paulding lights.
You know what? I'm going to say that too. The real Paulding lights were like, you're not going to catch me, nerds.
Right. They're like, fuck these guys. Look at that fucking guy's face.
Okay. I'm just attacking Jeremy Poo's face.
I know. So he's probably a nice guy.
No. Fuck this fucking guy, dude. He's like, everyone has come up with this agreement that we're all just going to like pretend like it's this paranormal thing, but I'm going to fucking choose to say something else.
And it kind of sucks for this woman who owns the store, too, because it's like half of her store is Paulding light shit. Now she's like, well, fuck.
He single-handedly is ruining like the tourist activity in this place.
Yeah, because he's a fuck.
He doesn't even live there.
No, go home.
He doesn't even go there.
He doesn't even go here. But the crew, Jeremy Bowes and his crew, his gang, have been out to witness these lights over 15 times.
Yeah.
And sometimes for hours at a time and in different seasons. So I'd say what they're seeing is most likely the Paulding light everyone has been referencing, you know?
It's so interesting that people only see one, but it's like headlights. I mean, like you said, like sometimes they see two, but But, like, overall, it's just, like, the one that they're seeing.
Right. And apparently, Bose and his team aren't the only ones to come up with the car headlights conclusion. A paranormal investigation team in the 80s also decided that this was the reasoning behind the lights.
Because they also brought a telescope.
They did the one thing that they should have done.
Brought a piece of equipment.
It's like, so many paranormal investigators have come to the site to try to debunk why. It's like, none of you guys brought a telescope.
This is some fucking Scooby-Doo ass shit, man.
Jeremy Bose also claims that the train story is just crap because he said there is no train and there never was a train. He believes that the light is generated by an interaction between light and air, and he compares the phenomenon to that of the twinkles of stars, except with this case, we're dealing with something that is larger and closer to us.
Well, you know what? I call upon the ghost of Thomas the Tank Engine to haunt this boy forever.
I know I just told you guys this cool paranormal story and then about these like crazy ghost lights and then just like ripped the carpet out from underneath you and told you it was just fake. But
yeah,
there may be something to these lights just yet.
Ugh, lay it on me.
In 2010, so the same year as the Michigan Tech students, that's when Sci-Fi in Fact or Faked came out and they shut down US 45 to see if, in fact, these lights were coming from the headlights of cars.
That's some fucking Sci-Fi Network power.
So in the episode that is titled Blazing Horizon / Rollover.
Okay,
I don't know what
who the doesn't know that is,
but the hosts, J.L. Pardo, Bill Murphy, and Austin Porter, investigated the Paulding lights and tried to debunk it. They performed three different experiments in one night. First, they tried to recreate the light with a laser pointer with obviously no luck.
No, but every feral cat in Paulding was there, and they were all playing laser cats, and it was so cute.
Then they even tried to fly an airplane above the highway to see if that was what caused the light, but still no luck. Then they tried to capture EVPs of the area to see if they could communicate with the train brakeman. Still no telescope.
Wait, can I bring something up really quick? Yes. Okay, so their names, J.L. Pardo, Bill Murphy, and Austin Porter, sound like you're mispronouncing the names of famous people.
I know.
I can't get over it. I just think it sounds so funny. They sound like fake names and also like people that will never be famous.
Like literally when I read that, I was like, wait, did I say that? Okay, that's right.
Javier Pardo. Sure. Bill Murray.
And Austin Powers.
And he's like, groovy, baby. These Paulding lights are crazy.
What would Bill Murray say? Bill Murray would just be like, go Cubs.
He's a Ghostbuster, so.
Yeah. What are his lines from Ghost? I can't remember. Da-da-da-da-da. He's just like, Ghostbusters. Just sings the song. So they came to the conclusion that the Paulding light was something that could not be debunked or explained, which is interesting. But the most interesting part of all of this was that, according to some sources, the crew from Sci-Fi closed off US 45 to all traffic to conduct these experiments. And they still witnessed the light.
So then it's not headlights.
Well, this is what some people say. I mean, I'm not in contact with Sci-Fi to be like, hey, did you guys
call Bill Murray?
Bill Murray, did you shut off the highway?
Call Uncle Bill.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe that's why they didn't do a telescope, because they just shut off traffic to the highway. I don't know. So if the light is supposedly car headlights, how are they still seeing the light with no cars passing through US 45?
I have a theory.
Do you?
I do. And it's scientific based. So I feel like the Paulding lights do exist because mm-hmm. there are stories dating back to like Native Americans in the area. And yeah. like people saw it in like the 60s and shit, right? So I feel like the lights are real. The light is real, the mm-hmm. ghost light. But also, there's a lot of like light, what's it called? Where like the lights from the city like affect something. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Light
oh my
pollution?
God. Thank you. There's like light thank you. There's yeah, littering. There's like light pollution from these car lights also. So with the highway closed down, there's no light pollution from these lights, so they see the one light.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's there. It's just being shrouded by these other lights behind it.
That's exactly what I literally wrote. Could a light phenomenon be generated by passing car headlights? Well, Michigan Tech students proved it.
Possibly.
But could there also be something else weird happening in those woods that is causing this odd flickering light? I absolutely think so.
I absolutely think so.
So
here's the thing. I want to believe.
I want to believe. I do. Don't we all? So yeah, that was ghost noise or a cat somewhere. But that is the story of the Balding Lights.
That's a super good story.
So I think we should take a trip out there. Check them out.
I think we should do that too. I'm going to search. Actually, I'll do it later. That was super fun. I'd heard of it.
But I'd heard of it too, but you know, never really knew about it. So I was like, we'll do this.
Well, shout out to Auntie Laura. And little fuck you. What was the other guy's name? Dave.
Dave.
Or don't. I don't know.
It's kind of fun. Kind of a fun story. And it's super close to home, so...
Now, I want to talk about something very spooky and paranormal.
Okay. I know. And now I remember what you're doing.
Okay. So, this, to me, feels like there's no explanation. Or is it just headlights and a weather balloon?
I don't know. Did Michigan Tech students come out with a telescope to see what
they
it was?
They did not.
Well, then we'll never know.
Do weather balloons have headlights?
No.
Because, frankly, that would just, like, explain away everything that's ever happened.
You know what? I don't know. I think they might. They've got to have some type of light, though. Because why else would people think it's a UFO?
What is a weather balloon?
They use it to like measure weather.
Is that the thing that those people put Balloon Boy in? You remember Balloon Boy?
No. What? They put him in. No, I know who Balloon Boy is, but they didn't put him in a weather balloon.
Are you sure?
I feel like
in their attic hiding. But they like said that he like got into like this weather balloon and like went up.
Why would they have a weather balloon in their attic?
Because they're UFO enthusiasts. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. That's hey, maybe I'll do that for the next story. Balloon Boy.
Fuck, I fucking wonder how he's doing. Scared of heights.
Still floating away somewhere.
Oh, that's also what Candle in the Wind is about. He predicted Balloon Boy would happen.
and it did. And it said,
okay, so I'm going to talk about the 37th parallel.
Woo, yeah.
This is something that we have briefly talked about before.
Yeah, what was it? What was the episode?
I think it was an alien one.
Was it Skinwalker Ranch?
Maybe, although Skinwalker Ranch is not on the 37th parallel.
Yeah.
But this is something that I have been like so deeply interested in for a really long time. So I wanted to do the research on it. I wanted to just share it with the rest of the class, and I want to ask you if you know anything about it.
I just know that it is like a line that goes through the world, and weird shit happens along it.
All right. There it is. Done it. Close your laptop.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Everyone can leave. You can all go home early.
Honestly, thank you. All right. So, yes, when you look at a map or a globe, when's the last time you saw a globe?
Never. Probably a couple years.
I feel like a couple years seems very recent to see a globe. I feel like I saw one in like elementary school.
We used to have it at my house.
Really?
My parents have a globe, yeah.
That's so... Are they learned doctors? Is it in your study?
Probably they threw it away. I don't even know. We used to fuck around with it when I was kids. When we were kids, we used
when
to
Nicole
like...
When Nicole was a bunch of children stacked on top of each other.
We used to spin it really fast and then like put our finger on it and be like, this is where you're going to live.
Oh, classic.
And then you would stop and then you'd be like, oh, sweet, Canada.
Yeah, that's the first place you could think of.
Well, we're talking about
Canada.
The UP and...
It's true. All right. So you will notice when you look at a map or a globe that there are like lots of little lines breaking up the earth into a grid pattern. These lines are how we measure coordinates in longitude and latitude. I said I mispronounced something on the last episode and it has been haunting me forever.
What did you say?
I'm not going to say it.
No, you have to.
I said I was going to say hyperbole.
What did you say?
Hyperboil.
No, you didn't. I would have caught that.
It is haunting me.
Maybe I thought you were joking then.
Maybe I was definitely joking. Everyone, I was totally joking. Was.
Hyperboil?
Was I joking?
You weren't even, it's not like, that was an unscripted.
I know what the word hyperbole is.
Yeah, but then that was an unscripted. It's not like you were reading something and your brain just like messed it up,
That's
you know?
True. Maybe I was joking. I don't know. I listened to it and I, like, I did, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's always a.
I don't know if I said it as a joke or if I didn't because I brown out during these episodes and don't remember what we talk about.
That's the worst thing about having a podcast is then like going back and, or like you're in the car. Well, yeah. I do the editing, so I have to listen to it anyways. But like when I'm in the car sometimes and it just like turns on our podcast and I hear my voice and I'm like, no, God, take it away.
It's like ultimate cringe.
It is very cringe.
Yes. Okay, so that's how we measure longitude and latitude. The 37th parallel lies 37 degrees north of the equator. So if all of this means something to you, then honestly, I'm disappointed because you need to listen to more of the Quite Unusual podcast.
What are we even doing?
The world's foremost geography podcast.
We're a fucking geography podcast.
In simpler terms, if you draw a line on a map from San Jose, California, all the way across the U.S. to the border between Virginia and North Carolina, then you've just drawn the 37th parallel. Yes, it goes all the way around the globe, but I'm only specifically talking about the United States occurrences right now.
Ooh. Can we expect a part two on this? Or?
Oh, maybe. I mean, I couldn't find a lot, to be honest, about other stuff. Mm. Like Fukushima's on it. I think. I don't know. There's like some other stuff, but it's like, yeah. It's not like as exciting as this to me.
Okay.
So I just went with this. So sorry if that's...
So you said Santa Cruz.
Yes, Santa Cruz.
Or San Jose.
What did I say? I said San Jose, California, all the way across the border between Virginia and North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So kind of got an idea.
Yes. In the United States, the parallel crosses from California, just north of Santa Cruz, if you're familiar with that, through Nevada, through Area 51, which, I mean, we're going to get to. It goes across the Utah-Arizona border, the Colorado-New Mexico border, Colorado-Oklahoma, Kansas-Oklahoma, the lower part of Missouri, and the southernmost tip of Illinois.
Just the tip?
Yeah. It takes 8 hours to drive to there from
Are you sure?
Chicago.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I don't think you are.
Through Bowling Green, Kentucky, and straight through the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel in Virginia. The zone between the 37th and 38th parallel is included in this paranormal highway, if you will. And it's roughly 140 miles wide on either side. Fun fact, the border between North and South Korea is on the 38th parallel.
Okay, so the 37th would technically be in North Korea?
It would be in South Korea because it goes away from So it goes higher, the further high, like up you go. So like Skinwalker Ranch is on the 40th parallel. And it's up in Utah.
Okay.
This is the 37th. It's the lower part of Utah, the border. Okay. So the equator is zero, and then it goes out from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I always think of Korea as being, like, crazy far north of us. I don't know why. But they're, like, pretty... Like, they're, like, way south of us.
Well, that would make sense because if that's the 37th parallel is in North Korea, then.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't know where anywhere is in the entire world, even though I run the world's most foremost.
You haven't seen a globe in 27 years.
Get this woman a globe. Stat. The 37th parallel has been nicknamed the UFO Highway or the Paranormal Highway, which is sort of fun. It's the site of countless cattle mutilations, UFO sightings, reports of underground military bases, sacred Native American sites, cryptid sightings, and ghost lights, not unsimilar to the Paulding lights.
But the Paulding lights are way further north.
Yes.
Okay.
Like the 44th parallel.
Okay.
I don't know. I made that up.
None of that's making any sense in my brain, but sure.
I don't know. But there's lights similar to it. And also, I read a whole-ass book on this.
You did?
Yeah, it's not super long.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, I said read, but I definitely listened to it on Audible.
Oh, nice.
Which is the same as reading.
Honestly, yeah. Right? Sometimes people don't have time to read.
No.
I don't.
I certainly do not. The book is called The 37th Parallel, The Secret Truth Behind America's UFO Highway by Ben Merzrich. And it's really fucking good, honestly. Like, it's super fun. In the book, he interviews this guy called Chuck Zukowski, who is literally the foremost cattle mutilation expert in the world.
Wow.
And he, I know, right? And he works for MUFON International.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He investigates mutilations for MUFON.
Okay. And I wonder if people who work for MUFON get paid.
I don't know, because
I don't think so.
In the book also talks about how he's a computer programmer and like makes microchips too. And like totally. That's like his job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like anyone in like the paranormal community, it's either like no one's making a lot of money unless you're Zach Bagans. So like,
I mean,
if you're like the world's like foremost cattle mutilation expert, you probably also have a day job. That's what I'm gonna say, at least.
I'm gonna say you maybe make a little more than like an amateur cattle mutilation guy.
Yeah,
but definitely you're not paying your bills.
Your bills off of cattle mutilation.
Cattle mutilation money is not. It's not a lucrative business.
It's not.
Also, side note, he has a really cool tactical vest that I'm obsessed with.
Wait, you saw him?
Yeah. I watched an interview with him.
Okay. And or did they describe it like in detail they didn't in Audible?
Describe it in the book.
Damn it.
I wish they fucking did. They like describe him as like walking in the room, hair blowing in the wind, cattle mutilation on his mind.
His tactical vest is pulled in, tucked just right.
So tactical.
Against his
no sleeves.
His barrel chest.
Oh no. Honestly, we painted a beautiful picture of this man. He looks exactly like that. And it sent me down a rabbit hole of looking at tactical vests for women. And then I realized I don't need that.
You definitely don't need one of those. Unless you're going to start investigating cattle mutilations.
It's like, he like, in the interview I watched, he like goes over what he puts in his tactical vest.
I was going to say there's so many pockets. So honestly, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get one.
I would never have to carry a purse again.
Yeah.
I would just need my tactical vest.
Oh, hey, can you grab me my vest?
Oh, shit.
It's the tactical one with all the pockets. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
No, don't press that button. I would love to interview this guy because he's a fucking character and I want to see that vest in real life.
Just try to find him on Instagram. Maybe he's got one.
You know what? I'm putting it out into the universe. We're going to interview this guy.
Chuck Zukowski, if you're listening.
I'm going to ask him what brand his tactical vest is. Because I genuinely like it.
He probably gets it from like the Army Surplus store or something.
I don't know. It's black.
He dyes it black.
Oh, shit. He's goth. Okay. I want to talk about some fun stuff that goes down on the 37th parallel. Of course, this list is not complete. It's just some fun things that I wanted to do. So let's start off
the top talking, hits, if you will.
Yeah, this is the what's it called? Billboard. This is the Billboard top 100 hits of the
37th parallel.
Yeah. So we'll start with the Joplin Spooklight. Unlike Jeremy Booz,
fuck that guy.
Who, you know, I'm just trying to debunk the Paulding Lights fame.
Yeah, it sucks.
I choose to believe that these weird little lights are totally real and definitely aliens or something of a paranormal nature. The Joplin Spooklight, which I literally hate saying the name of because it feels like borderline, like I shouldn't be saying it somehow.
Like it's a slur.
It does feel like it.
But I mean, not in conjunction with
it's like the spooky, other words. Spooky lights.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're also called the Ozark Spooklight or the Tri-State Spooklight. And I feel like that one they just didn't try. They're like, Tri-State.
They're like, well, there's definitely a light, so.
And just, it's spooky.
Yeah.
The first documented sightings of this light were seen by Native Americans forced to walk the Trail of Tears in 1836. It was written about in 1881 in a dedicated publication called, quote, Ozark Spooklight. It's like a little pamphlet that people like made, not unlike the pamphlet I got today.
You're spoiling it.
Oh, shit. Sorry. No car headlights were around in 1836, so I feel like that gives it a lot of credibility, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Only white people forcing Native Americans off their land in the most horrifying way possible was around back then.
Yep, that was very popular back then.
Yes. This light is described as a whitish-orange ball of light or fire that travels east to west along a 4-mile gravel road nicknamed the Devil's Promenade.
Oh, I like that.
The light is most frequently seen in Wapaw, Oklahoma, to the west, or in Joplin, Missouri, on the east side. The ball of light is described as being between the size of a baseball and the size of a basketball, or roughly the size of a weather balloon.
Because no one knows what size that is.
It is seen dancing around the sky, swinging side to side. The best time to see the light is between 10 p.m. and midnight, and you can see it on most nights. Just like the Paulding light, everyone has tried to debunk it. It's been attributed to car headlights, but like I said, it's been seen since the 1800s, yeah. So how is that possible?
There's the pamphlet to prove it.
That's fucking right. Some people believe that it's ball lightning that just like chills in the area. I'm obsessed with ball lightning.
I don't think I know what that is.
It's like literally, they're like, oh, it's lightning. But for some reason, it's a ball. And sometimes it's here and sometimes it's not. But no one has proof it's like ever existed.
Oh, there's no pictures or anything?
I tried to write a script on it. And it's just like gobbledygook on the internet. Like it's
gobbledygook.
It's gobbledygook. It's like complete nonsense. It's just like a ball of lightning that like happens and then goes away.
And people are like, we've seen it, but we don't have proof.
Yes. But it's real. Okay. I mean, which I like, again, I want to believe.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't fucking know. So some people think it's this weird ball lightning thing, or maybe like an atmospheric charge that can be seen from just the right angle. I did see that areas where rocks deep below the Earth's surface are like sort of like shifting and grinding up against each other, sort of like a high school homecoming dance, and like Get Low just started playing.
To like, the window, to the wall.
Yeah, so like obviously like electrical charges happen right when you get low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a fault line right in this area. So that does sort of make sense if there's like a lot of friction happening under, and then like on this fault line, it like kind of seeps through and like makes like weird little electrical anomalies.
Oh, okay. So they think it's electrical, not yes. like a light air thing.
That's like one theory.
Okay.
But it's never been proven or disproven.
Okay.
Electrical anomalies are pretty common along fault lines, and there's proof of them existing. Although they usually happen before or during or sometimes like after an earthquake. Okay. There's not a ton of earthquakes in Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah, in the Midwest.
Yeah.
No.
Other people say it's likely natural gas escaping from a very small fissure in the ground or a swamp nearby, which is interesting because the Paulding Light is near a swamp.
Yeah, that was a theory that it was swamp gas.
Yeah, too. Which is super fun. And, like, that might be possible, but I've, like, here's my question. If it is swamp gas, mm-hmm. does it not need, like, doesn't it need to be on fire to look like a light?
Yeah, it would need to ignite somehow. I don't know how it would ignite.
So how would it possibly spontaneously combust someone like that? Someone
farts.
Oh, shit.
Fisherman farts.
It's the farts of a ghost.
And they, it's ghost farts. That's what the lights are.
Actually.
We solved it.
That's we're doing a lot of really important investigative work today.
Honestly?
Yeah. Also, though, if it's burning natural gas, then how is it undisturbed by the weather at all? Like, it shows up when it's windy. It shows up when it's rainy.
Yeah.
It shows up on clear nights. So that, to me, doesn't really pan out.
Mm-hmm.
There is an urban legend. There's, like, a lot of urban legends about the light. But the oldest one is of a Wapaw Native woman who was in love with a warrior that she was forbidden to marry. They eloped and were chased down by her family. Mm. And instead of giving up on their love, they decided to jump to their death into the Spring River, which is like right there.
It's romantic, but I would never do that for a man.
Sorry. No, I wouldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. After the two died, the light began to appear, supposedly. So this is like a lost spirit who died for love when it was forbidden.
Okay.
But then it's just like one because like their souls meshed together or whatever.
When they both jumped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another legend tells of a miner whose cabin was attacked while he was away mining, I guess.
Doing miner things.
Doing his thing. When he returned, he found the place ransacked and his wife and children were missing. The light is said to be him searching the area around his home at night. With a lantern.
Ooh, a lantern.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay.
Swing side to side, you know?
Yeah.
So
the only thing about like the Paulding lights, and I'm sure this light too, is like, is it that too big to be a lantern.
How big is a lantern? The size of a weather balloon?
Give or take.
Approximately.
Approximately 1.5 weather balloons. Balloons.
Weather baboons.
Weather baboons.
Yes. I think we should go look for this spook light also.
Where is this one?
This one is Oklahoma, in
Joplin, Missouri.
Joplin, Missouri. Yeah. So we can go when we go to the Ozarks.
Okay.
Okay. So that happens on the 37th parallel. All these things I'm listing are just, they're doing their thing on the 37th. Okay.
All right.
Of course, there are hundreds of stories of lights in the sky just all over the place, right? But there's like a big concentration of them along the 37th parallel. And I feel like, I don't know, I was thinking about this, like how dreamy must it have been to just like look up at the night sky, like before like all like the light pollution of big cities, mm-hmm. and just like to see like fucked up shit in the sky and be like, oh, yeah. That's terrifying.
They probably just thought it was normal. They didn't know what it was. Maybe. I mean, if you go to like middle of nowhere, the stars are insane like that still.
That's true.
And you can see like satellites and shit like going by and shooting stars all of the time.
Dude, I saw my first shooting star ever.
Really?
Yeah. I've never. Isn't that fucking crazy? I had never seen one before we went to Paracon.
Immersed in light pollution and just pollution in general so much that you haven't seen a shooting star.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Also, I have really bad eyesight, so I'm going to chalk it up to that too.
Mm.
Yeah. On June 1st of 1853, at the now defunct Burritt College in Spencer, Tennessee, a student reported seeing what they described as a second and third sun rising just north of the real sun. Spencer, Tennessee is on the lower half of the 37th parallel, a little bit closer to the 36th. Then, more students began to notice the strange lights in the sky as well. A professor called A.C. Carnes interviewed the students that had seen the lights and submitted his interview to the Scientific American magazine. He is quoted as saying, what do professors sound like?
The first light.
The first light then became, but he's from Tennessee, whatever.
The first light then became visible.
There it is. The first light then became visible again. And increasingly rapid in size, while the other diminished. And the two spots kept changing, thus about half an hour. There was considerable wind at the time, and light fleecy clouds passing by, showing the lights to be confined to one place. So basically he's like, yeah, I believe these kids. Like, I kind of saw it too. Like, one light, it's like one of these stars, like, it's getting bigger and the other one's getting smaller, and they're kind of like toggling between growing and shrinking.
Oh,
until
weird.
One of them gets super, super small and disappears and it's no longer visible to the naked eye. And then the other one just like is gone, like blink of an eye, gone. It was speculated that this could somehow be, again, ball lightning. People love a ball lightning.
Ball lightning and weather balloons.
Or somehow the moisture in the clouds was reflecting the light and, like, getting in people's eyes. But
this reminds me of, there was a video that just came out where it was in Las Vegas.
Oh, the two suns.
No, there was, like, there was a ship above because there were lights.
Really?
Yeah, and there was, like, they saw, like, red, and there was, like, a blinking, like, white one, and it looked like there was, like, a ship above the clouds.
Holy shit.
But really, like, weather experts were, like, actually, this is just, like, a rare weather phenomenon. Like, the lights from, obviously, Las Vegas, mm-hmm. I guess, wherever it was, like, the surrounding clubs had similar colored lights, and it was, like, reflecting off of the clouds.
Whoa.
Or, like, the moisture or whatever in the air, and it was, like, I don't know, super weird. But it, like, came out, like, 2 weeks ago or something.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the one with the two sunsets.
No. I don't know.
Did you see that one?
No.
I think it was in like the Southwest too. There was like a sunset like to the, where is the sunset? The east? No, sunsets in the west.
Rises in the east and sets in the west.
Yeah. So there was like a sun setting where it should be setting. And then across there was also like a sun setting.
Hmm.
And it was just like a weird like light phenomenon too.
Yeah.
It was just like a fluke.
So, it happens, but for it to happen like consistently every single night, like that's a little weird to me.
Yeah. This was just once that they saw this, but a bunch of students did see it at the same time, But no explanation was ever truly found for this one. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to chalk it up to being like a UFO or ghost light thing. Just like a weird guy in the sky.
A little guy in the sky.
In February of 1973 in Piedmont, Missouri, the residents began seeing what they all happened to describe as UFO lights in the sky. It started with a high school basketball team witnessing a, quote, bright, bright shaft of light beaming down from the atmosphere. And they noticed an object hovering in the distance. This was not the last time that this light would be seen.
That
but this
like
is
a UFO.
This is giving like big like tractor beam.
Yeah.
Right. Hundreds of residents of Piedmont reported seeing the strange lights in the sky. And some reported seeing metallic objects also like zooming around the sky. The residents said that they would get the best views from the local landfill. So they would all go down during dusk and during dawn and dusk to see UFOs and lights in the sky. There were about 2,000 people in this town at the time. And like literally almost everyone would turn up every night, like at the landfill.
And they all saw it?
They like all saw it. I got the pleasure of reading a bunch of contemporary articles about the sighting, which, you know, I love a contemporary article. And I wanted to pull this one quote from the basketball coach that first saw the lights. I wanted to read his quote because his name is Reggie Bone.
Is that his real name? Is that a nickname or a real name?
It's Reggie Bone.
Reggie Bone saw the shaft of light is what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. All right.
Reggie Bone loves a shaft of light.
Loves a light shaft.
So Reggie Bone says, "We passed the lights off as a plane, though it didn't look like a plane. It was too dark to make out any size or shape. Its lights were red, green, amber, and white." Another woman called Miss Maud Jeffries, who I would consider an extremely based queen, says, "I can't help but believe that the government knows what this is." And then she took a photo of the UFO, and which I'll share on the social medias. And she was selling prints of it for $25 to tourists.
Nice.
Which is equivalent to $170 now.
Get that money, honey.
So I love this energy that she's like, yeah, the fucking government knows what this shit is. You want to buy a picture of it?
Yeah. I mean, why would she not? That's...
I love Maud Jeffries.
It would be insane not to do that.
Yeah. Literally hundreds of people saw the lights over the course of several months, which in my opinion makes it 100% believable.
And did it just go away? Like what's...
It would go away and then like come back and like every night. Appear like in different, like different areas.
Oh, weird.
But it was like they'd see literally like UFOs flying around the sky.
So it sounds like it was a UFO instead of just like a thing that was concentrated in one area.
Yeah, not like a Paulding light situation, but like UFOs and like weird like colored lights in the sky, and like it sounds like a tractor beam, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
Across the 37th parallel in the American Southwest, there is also a phenomenon that's kind of known throughout Native American culture called the Star People. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's...
I have. I don't know much about them, though.
So tribes including the Navajo, Apache, Lakota, Pueblo, Hopi, and Santa Clara all have lore about star people. The Grand Canyon in Arizona and the Chaco Canyon in New Mexico, which are both on the 37th parallel also, have been where most of these sightings take place. The sightings date back centuries, and literally these star people are people that came from the sky. Like they're 100% aliens.
Yeah.
There are literally hundreds of stories of these tribes meeting these star people, along with tons of illustrations. Like there's like paintings and pottery and whatever of these people, these star people. And many of them show what I would consider to be a gray alien. They're like little dudes standing next to like humans, and they all have like giant heads.
And giant black eyes.
Basically. The Lakota have a legend of a group of young women being chased by a bear. They run until they're all exhausted, and finally they drop to their knees to pray for help. A moment after they drop to their knees, the ground beneath them begins to shake, and they're lifted up into a plateau-like land formation while the bear claws at the side of the rock face. The women are said to be saved by the star people, who... the Lakota say can control the world around them because they hold infinite knowledge of the stars. Mm-hmm. Also, this kind of gave me tractor beam vibes.
What?
Like, they, like, lift it, like, their story, like, lifts these women up off the ground to, like, get away from this bear.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was sort of, I don't know, sort of interesting. What's happening?
So does Jade. She loves it.
Just screaming and asking for pets. So you can have what you want, Jade. The Hopi people believe that their ancestors came from the stars, and they have memory of the first time that they set foot on Earth. So there's no, I tried to look, and I don't know if anyone listening knows any of, like, any information about this. That would be super cool if they did. But there's no information about, like, what came before the Hopi people came to Earth. But their lore is basically that they are aliens. They came from another planet. They landed here, and they are star people. And then the star people come and, like, visit them, like, family reunion style.
Okay.
The Tewa people believe that they are intermixed with the star people, who they say landed in the Great Sand Dunes in Colorado, which also lies on the 37th parallel. So in their lore, basically aliens came to Earth, and then they're like...
And these are two different tribes that have similar stories about these, like, star people.
Yeah, there's like 10 different tribes.
Cool.
And they're all, they all live along this 37th parallel. They all, like, see these lights in the sky. They meet these star people. Basically, they were all visited by aliens, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, oh my God, what is happening? What is this child doing? Okay, now let's chat about cattle mutilations. Cattle mutilations are, like, I'm not going to go super deep into it, because it's really fucking gross, actually.
It's like the same shit also all the time.
Like, literally always. Like, the thing with cattle mutilations is that they always happen when UFOs are sighted, or, like, when UFOs are near. We know that. We've read that. We
heard it. Skinwalker Ranch, bitch.
Yes. But did you know that most cattle mutilations happen along the 37th parallel?
I did not.
You probably could have guessed, because that's what we're talking about.
Well, if I knew Chuck Zukowski personally, I'm sure he would tell me that.
He probably has a pamphlet in his tactical lesson.
I hope he does.
Almost all cattle mutilations have the following things in common. The animal is drained of blood completely, like bone dry. They appear to have been dropped from a great height. Usually their tongues are removed. Most of the time they're disemboweled, so, like, all their guts are out. Their eyes, ears, and genitals are removed, and every cut is always done with surgical precision. And typically the cuts are cauterized. Mm. So it's never jagged. It's always, like, perfectly smooth. Yeah,
it's not like a wolf or anything attacking these cattle.
No, it looks like they were, like, it's, like, methodical. Like, there's
surgically cut up, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times, but not always, like, predators and scavengers won't eat the body. So it's just, like, a full-ass cow. I don't know how much cows weigh. What, like, probably, like, 1,500 pounds or something? 1,000 pounds? So much. Just, like, laying out there in the desert, and nothing tries to eat them.
Yeah, because it smells weird.
It's super weird, right? The first record of a cattle mutilation was in 1894, and it was reported along with a UFO sighting. And I always believe these super early UFO sightings because, like, what else could it have been? Like, nothing was invented.
Weather balloons didn't exist back then, so.
Blimps did exist, but, like, why would there be a blimp flying around rural Arkansas? True. There just simply would not.
True, true.
Yes. In 1975, in Missouri and Arkansas, there were numerous reports of mutilations along with the sightings of UFOs as well. In the second half of the 1970s, there were literally thousands of reports of cattle mutilations that followed alien sightings or, like, reports of weird things in the sky. So much so that the FBI was called in to investigate, and then they were just like, yeah, we have no idea what this is. Like, it's probably, like, a scavenger killing, or, like, people, like, killing each other's cattle for no reason. Like, it was completely inconclusive.
Or there's, like, some guy going around just, like, draining an animal's blood.
Yeah, like, for fun.
For funsies.
There was an article in the New York Times in March of 1975 that described ranchers along the Texas-Oklahoma border, which, as we know, is right by the 37th parallel, reporting so many mutilations that they blamed it on satanic youth. and believed that once the vernal equinox would pass, that it would all end. But it didn't end because it wasn't satanic youth killing cows.
If they believed that, like, wouldn't they be like, hey, do you guys want to be doctors instead?
Right, like, this is surgical precision.
This is insane.
We have the hands of a surgeon.
We haven't seen a stitch like this in years.
Yeah, so, like, it's probably just kids, like, draining gallons of blood. Right.
For satanic rituals.
Out of these animals.
Okay.
Another thing about cattle mutilations is that there is never a drop of blood anywhere. Like, it's not on the ground. It's not, like, when you kill an animal, all the blood spills out.
Right.
So it's like someone takes an animal, kills it somewhere else, drains it of blood, brings it back.
And then just, like, throws it really hard.
And, like, doesn't have, like, any footprints around there or anything. Yeah. Additionally, ranchers in New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Utah, and Nevada reported so many cattle mutilations that the authorities in the area, like, just stopped caring. They're like, please stop reporting this. There's nothing we can do about it. We don't know how to help you. And I listened to an interview with Chuck Sikowski of Tactical Vest fame,
of course,
who I mentioned earlier. And he said that the thing with all of the mutilations that he's investigated, of which there are, like, literally, like, hundreds of them, they all have in common that the cows along the 37th parallel are laying east to west.
Weird.
Isn't that super weird?
That is very weird.
Yes. So they are literally all laying in the same direction. Every single one of them.
Interesting. Okay.
And he just straight out believes that aliens take the cows. They take them up into their spacecraft or whatever. They take all their blood. They take whatever else they want, like their eyes or their tongue or something. And then they, like, quote unquote, like, return the cow to the farm. Sort of like he likened it to, like, borrowing a car and then bringing it back when you're done with it. But like if you return a car without the engine, like, it's no good.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't they just keep all of it or, like, throw it in space or something? Just, like, drop it.
So the way he described it, which I thought was super interesting, remember when we did our episode on the Greys and we said that they're really, like, sort of, like, robotic in the way that they, like
yeah, do they don't things. Really have, like, a conscience and they're just,
or,
like,
yeah, or, like, emotions, no emotions or anything.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't, like, care about life and they take, it's like if I took this can.
Then why bring it back and at all?
Because they're like, oh, I'm returning it to you. Like, if I take that can, I'm like, hey, can I borrow this soda and I drink all the soda and give it back to you? I technically gave you the can back.
Mm.
So, like, he thinks that they don't realize that, like, that's the difference is, like, it was alive and now it's not.
I would like to say that they do realize because they're, like, an advanced form of fucking being. I just think they don't fucking care.
They probably don't give a shit.
They definitely don't give they're a like, shit.
Yeah, we're going to leave these carcasses on your planet and not litter space with them.
Yeah, they're like, you've already done enough littering. Like, it's...
Yeah.
There's no coming back anyways.
Like,
so.
You guys literally had to put up a sign at the Paulding Lights to not litter. So, like, we see what you do to the planet.
Right. Like, as if people wouldn't know.
Yeah. He tells of one mutilation in San Luis, Colorado, on a ranch called the Sanchez Ranch, where a 5-month-old calf, quote, had its guts completely hollowed out, its legs broken and bent backwards, and its body twisted like a corkscrew. He said it was the fourth calf on Sanchez's ranch viciously mutilated over the previous 3 weeks. The rancher was so distraught that he took the rest of his calves to auction. He figured selling them was better than losing more to mutilation.
That's kind of nice, though. He kind of saved those little babies.
It is nice. But, like, that's insane. Like, who would kill a baby cow? No one.
A tall gray?
Aliens. That's
for sure, a tall gray.
Yeah. And they were all, like, in the same way. Like, they all had their bodies, like, smashed and, like, fucked up. And, again, just no blood. Totally made no sense. I think we talked about cattle mutilations a lot in the Skinwalker Ranch episode.
Yeah, we did, for sure.
So that's honestly...
the 4 episodes that we did.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not going to go into more detail because it's just... I'm just going to be listing, discussing things that happen to animals.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. So, if you guys haven't listened to our Skinwalker Ranch episode, check that out. Also, I think you should probably read this book because it has a lot of information. It's like... I would say it's like 70% cattle mutilations. So if you guys are into it, read the book on the 37th parallel, and they talk about how, like, sometimes the animals will have no bones broken, or sometimes the bones will be like crushed to dust. A lot of times the body, like I said, it looks like it was dropped from a super high, and it will leave like a crater in the earth, like a depression. They talk about this really interesting thing where the nutrients in the soil, like at a certain like distance from the cow, like in a circular pattern, are completely stripped. Like there's like, it's
weird.
Yeah. But then just outside of that circle, the nutrients are there, and like the water, like he like pours water like next to the cow, and it like doesn't like seep into the earth for some reason. Mm-mm. Like makes it like insoluble. I don't know. A lot of science stuff, a lot of tactical vests, a lot of science, a lot of mutilations. Pretty interesting. Nicole, have you heard of a place called Area 51?
It's not ringing any bells.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I have.
Well, as I said, this is along the 37th parallel. This is very significant because it's obviously the most notorious UFO-laden site in the whole country. We all know that Area 51 is highly classified. It's an Air Force base, and it's about 90-ish miles away from Las Vegas. And no one knows what goes on there. The Air Force says that it's a training range, but I mean, we all know that that's where they...
We know that you keep aliens there, okay?
Like, we all know that it's just like, that's where the Men in Black are.
Like, we know... We did our episode on the Greys and Venusians, okay? We know you made a deal with them, okay?
Yeah.
Alien Thor, you guys fucked that one up, okay?
Yeah.
Big time.
Just, yeah. Jade agrees with that. So it's obviously the conspiracy theory, which I'm going to say is just 100% true,
yeah,
is that this is where they store their aliens and their UFO fragments that land on Earth, and basically any proof that it's where all of that is, right? That, mm-hmm, like, aliens are real. Or I mean, that's probably just where they keep all the weather balloons, right?
That's it's where they like, house all the weather balloons.
It's just, yeah, a warehouse full of weather balloons. And you can't see them because then you'll know how big they are.
And then you'll know that they don't look like UFOs. And then that's the secret. That's what they're hiding at Area 51.
The real cover-up is what weather balloons look like. I just learned today that the government, like, just straight up denied the existence of Area 51 for, like, years and years. They're like, it's not real. That's not. What are you talking
so
about?
So you're obviously hiding something. Wow, way to fuck that one up, too, government.
They're like, oh, did you see it? No, you didn't. It's not real. You didn't see it.
And so, then, like, satellite imaging came around, and they're like, oh, shit.
We, yes,
can't lie about this anymore.
Exactly. The CIA was forced to acknowledge the base's existence in 2013 after a Freedom of Information Act was filed almost 10 years earlier. But they're like, yeah, technically it's here.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Fine.
Like, that was whatever. It. So if you had asked in 2012, they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What area... 49, we know that one.
Yeah,
Area 50, yeah.
Big fans. Area 55, yeah, we know of it.
We 51 is, I don't even know what you're talking about.
We must have misnumbered them, which skipped over that number.
It was Gary's job, and he's dyslexic, so, you know, he missed it. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah, sorry, guys, that was my bad.
What about Gary has the Jersey Devil voice?
Oh, shit. Have you heard of the Dulce Underground Military Base?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, so it's located well under a small town in New Mexico called Dulce. Dulce.
Doesn't that mean candy?
Yes.
Delicious.
So good. It's the most delicious military base. This is where they keep Willy Wonka.
It's made out of candy. Yeah. It's made out of chocolate. This is...
Do you think if Willy Wonka and the witch from Hansel and Gretel that ate the children but lived in a candy house would be friends or enemies?
Probably friends. Like, they definitely banged once.
Like, they both love candy, killing children, and, like,
they
rough
both
sex.
Love killing children. That's their favorite thing to do.
It's literally
one of them
favorite.
Enjoys it for, like, the pure sheer joy of it, and the other one, like, actually likes the taste of them.
Yeah, that's true. Willy Wonka's like, he's a vegetarian.
Sadistic.
He just kills them but doesn't eat them. So the government has refused to admit the existence of this one. And there is no, like, actual proof of it, because you can't see it from the sky, like Buchanan Area 51. Because it's made of chocolate. Yes, and it melts in the sun.
They rebuild it every time.
Every day they rebuild it. So this is supposedly underground, underneath the entire town of Dulce. The government, like I said, refused to admit it, that it exists. But there's tons of people that used to work there that came out and were like, no, it's real. I worked there for 45 years and, like, got a government pension. And, like, this is where I worked.
And a lifetime supply of gumdrops. Of
gumdrops. But it's the yellow ones only.
Oh, it's the government, obviously.
They're not going to make anything too cool. No. I'm super obsessed with this, and I think that we should do an episode on the government working, like, alongside aliens, because there's that one other base.
Well, we kind of already did that.
With the Greys, yeah, we did.
And Valiant Thor.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Man, the government really does this a lot, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, definitely. So this is the base where the American government supposedly is working alongside the Grey aliens. And it's underground.
Okay.
In 1979, a man called Paul Benowitz, who claimed to have intercepted electronic communications from a UFO that was communicating with the U.S. Air Force, said that he listened for like 2 years and was like writing down like everything that they were saying back and forth. And he had all this like irrefutable proof that not only is the base there, because he was picking up tons of like Air Force chatter, but also that they were communicating with UFOs and, like, working together. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote this tell-all story, and he had it published, and I cannot find it anywhere.
Wait, so there's information online that he published this, but you
can't.
Well,
he published, like, a book.
Oh.
Yeah, Paul Benowitz. So this
is not in the book?
I can't find the book. I can't find, like, a copy of it or anything on the internet. Mm. So I'm going to just assume that the government made him disappear.
They wiped it.
Yeah, that's right. A man called George Clinton Andrews, which I'm sorry is a serial killer name.
Three names.
Wrote a book in 1986 called Extraterrestrials Among Us.
I thought you were going to say Extraterrestrials, the Extraterrestrials Among Us.
Where he claimed to have knowledge of the aliens living under Dulce on the military base. Which, honestly, again, I totally believe. There's like tons of just people that are like, I literally worked there. Like, I have pay stubs from the government. I live in Dulce. What do you think I'm doing?
Well, there's all of that. I wonder, I don't know if you came across this in your research, but a lot of people believe that there's like an underground, like underwater underground base, like in the ocean and shit, that spacecrafts have come out of and stuff.
Yeah, there's like tons of videos.
I bet you that's on the 37th parallel too.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even look into that. I will find it for next time. Because honestly, that's kind of all I have on the 37th parallel. It's basically just like a UFO hot zone across the entire globe.
All right. Well, would you care to bring us joy with the story of...
Oh, shit. I forgot already.
The pamphlet that happened to you today our Target.
This is a true story. You guys can hear this pamphlet that I'm holding right now.
Yeah, I can tell you. It's a 2-3 pages stapled.
This is 4 pages.
4 pages stapled together.
Both sides.
It's in color print, though, too. So
he splurged on this.
He's... means business.
His name is on here. I will not name him.
Yeah, don't.
I will not be doing that. So what happened was I was in a Target, right? Because I'm a white woman and I was trying to feel something. So I'm wandering around Target and I go to the Starbucks in Target and I get a latte and I'm waiting. And there's this thing about me that I don't know what it fucking is.
Honestly, every single time, I don't understand it.
I do not understand what this is.
I don't know.
People talk to me in public
all of the time.
All of the, like, do I have a fucking sign on my forehead that says fucking, I have nothing else people to do, talk to me?
People avoid me. So honestly, I don't know. I think it's because you have like a nice welcoming face and I have a resting bitch face.
I was wearing a mask, so you can only see half of my face. So
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. So I'm waiting for my latte and this guy comes up to me and he's like totally flabbergasted by like that...
By a latte.
That espresso machines like produce steam. And he's like, what are they doing to your coffee? I'm like, it's a latte. They're steaming the milk.
They're making it.
And what? He's like, oh, they're just the technology around coffee these days is crazy. And I'm like,
technology is crazy.
I'm like, word, bro. I hear that. I want to look this direction now. You carry on.
He's like, man, baristas are perfect for making coffee, aren't they?
It's crazy how that works out. And he's like, fuck, what did he say to me? I'm going to look up the exact words that I texted you because it was fucking bonkers.
Bonkers bananas.
So this man is like, he's chilling. He's trying to talk to me about lattes. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, not to be a bitch or anything, but I'm just like, hey,
get out of my personal space.
I don't know you.
Walk away or I'll scream.
He says, I'm a writer, and I believe modern society and the government is stealing days away from the Christian people, and I have proof.
But only the Christian people, not anyone else.
And I said, oh, okay. And he proceeded to pull out a pamphlet, which I'm calling a pamphlet, but it's just a fucking bunch of computer paper.
It's stapled together, yeah. It's yes. Nothing special.
Also, it's double. He staples honestly, it twice.
I would have believed it more if it had been a pamphlet.
I would have too. Yeah, that's, come on, gay. So he gives this to me, and I don't even know how to read this, so I'm not going to, because it's fucking insane.
It's literally insane.
But I will post a picture of it, okay? I posted a picture already on my Twitter, so if you guys follow me on Twitter, you'll see it there. It says, the Lord's quote-unquote perfect sign, and then it's just unintelligible. This image is so little, I cannot read the words on it. And it proceeds with just like a bunch of numbers and dates.
It's honestly just numbers, the whole fucking thing.
So like, I'm going to read this part from, anyways, he hands this to me and I was like, thank you so much, sir. And he was like, you've really made my day. Have a wonderful day. And then the girl at Starbucks was like, here's your coffee. And I was like, okay, bye forever. and he was like, I'll have what she's having. And she's like, I literally have no idea what that is. Like, what do you want? And then he waved to me as I was leaving.
Back to the bunker he went.
I fucking guessed. He probably lived in a bunker because he's like, do you know they make coffee hot these days? Crazy.
Wow, look at that machine that's steaming that coffee.
Have you seen the sun? It's still there.
So, technology is insane these days.
I mean, it was very nice, but I'm like, what is going on?
No, nothing's nice. Strangers approaching you, handing you fucking pieces of paper that they've written gibberish on is not nice.
It's not gibberish. Ready for this? From and including Wednesday, September 28th, 1530. Ampersand Julian calendar in United States. To and including Thursday, August 11th, 2022, Gregorian calendar. Result, 179,643 days. It is 179,643 days from the start date to the end date including, or 491 years, 10 months, 15 days, including the ending. It's just like math.
What is the back of it? Like there,
it's got like a bunch of Bible verses and then like a bunch of like numbers. And he's like, you think that 4 + 4 = 8, but that's what they want you to believe.
I don't even know.
4 days + 4 days is not a week.
He doesn't like, there's no like, so in conclusion,
no, it doesn't say that. I read it so many times today and I cannot make sense of it. It's like literally like numbers and dates and then like Bible verses and like pictures of people. It's
just, yeah, like numbers about like minutes, hours,
yeah,
days. He's like, is it a countdown to the end of the world?
I don't know. It says it's like alternate time units, like arbitrary dates that I don't know what any of these dates even mean. Hebrews 10:7.
Did you ask him what it meant?
Or? No, I got the fuck out of there, Nicole. Why would I talk to this man?
Because he was going to kidnap you?
Maybe.
And bring you back to the bunker.
Like, this just starts, it's Friday, May 13th, 2022 to November 7th, 2022. And then he says how many seconds are in that time frame.
Okay.
Why? Did you know that that's 49.04% of 2022?
No.
Because this man does.
You know what? He could say that and that could not even be right and no one would question it because no one's actually going to do that math.
Look at these emojis. Finger pointing up, angel target.
Wow.
that really proves this point.
Okay.
I don't understand this. He talks about Good Friday a lot in here.
I think it's like the end. He's counting down to the end of days.
He told me in person, the more I read it, the more I'll understand.
Nope. No, it won't.
I don't even know what this is.
Keep it and put it on our bulletin board.
Should I?
Yes.
This feels like a haunted object.
Then we should definitely keep it.
This is like,
it's cursed.
This is like Annabelle vibes. Like, put this bitch behind glass or something.
We should. We should put it in a case.
Anyways, I'm going to post pictures of this. If you guys are
interested. Somebody decipher it for us, because honestly, I don't even.
I feel like I don't know how to read anymore or something.
It's just letters and numbers.
This is making me feel illiterate.
Yeah. So if somebody can decipher it and explain to us what the hell it means.
I will pay you $100,000.
No, she will not.
Out of the Ripley's Believe It or Not fund. Okay. I'll contact the people at Ripley's. They will pay you.
It was never.
It's from me.
Taken from the Paulding Lights, and we know how it. I don't think the Michigan Tech people took them up on that offer. So
that's my listener lore. I'm sorry I made you guys all sit through that. If you want to share a fucking fucked up story about someone who talked to you in Target when you didn't want them to, please send it to koiunusualpod@gmail.com. Or maybe you just want to spout nonsense about numbers. Also send that over.
Honestly, yeah. And if you would like to connect with us on the social meds, you can follow our Facebook group, be friends with us on Instagram. We have a Twitter.
Yeah.
We also have a Patreon. So if you want to support us with your monies.
With your dollar bills.
And we have a new patron to welcome.
Yes. Oh, you can find us at Quite Unusual Pod on all those interfaces.
Yes.
Yes. We do have a new patron. Thank you to Rachel S.
Welcome, Rachel S.
Welcome to the cabin. Welcome. And if you want to send us any more haunted or cursed objects, unfortunately, you can. Send them to P.O. Box 1212 in Des Plaines, Illinois, 60017. And we will put it in the haunted attic, therefore increasing the hauntivity of this house.
Yes. And as always, remember to celebrate the strange.
And keep it unusual.
Bye.
And this is the part of the show where we give praise to the all-knowing leaders, supporters of the podcast, benevolent beings, and all-around benevolent beings. This week, we're going to tell you what cryptid energy you have with, I mean, literally, like, no reasoning behind it, which is like vibes, you know what I mean? It's like cryptid vibes.
Right. To Tim M. Bigfoot.
Yeah.
He just gives, I can live in the woods and walk in slow motion. I don't give a fuck energy. And we love that.
I bet he does walk in slow motion. Evan K. Fresno Nightcrawler. Right? Like, he's, like, giving leg.
Leg.
Slay.
Slay. And KTT, the Flatwoods Monster. So stylish. So chic.
Another slay.
Slay.
Adam K. Michigan Dogman. But, like, in a hot way.
In a hot way, yeah. John S. Mothman. Because, I mean, that booty.
Bootylicious.
Bootylicious.
Caitlin R. Loch Ness Monster. She has beauty. She has grace.
She is Miss Scotland.
In your face.
Alex C. Mongolian Deathworm. She's mysterious. She's elusive. And we would love her even if she turned into a worm.
Honestly, I would love her.
Beautiful.
She was a worm.
Beautiful.
And Jeff S. The Jersey Devil. Can't you just imagine, like, Benjamin Franklin using Jeff S. as a weapon in some kind of weird old-timey turf war?
Yes, I could.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to all of our coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
We're not worthy. What is a pamphlet thrown in the garbage outside of a Target that nobody even wants?
That's really all we are.
It's honestly...